October 16th, there's an opening of Out of the Darkness. It's an exhibition for the artwork of artist John Zoccoli. And accompanying him on the opening night of this at Collar City Mushrooms and at their art space, Kenyatta Manuel is a musician. Mm-hmm. Certainly John Zoccoli will be there as an artist. But we have a really special guest with us today is Jose Perez, who will also be appearing on the 16th. So I want to welcome you, Jose, to Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here with you guys.
Now, there's the three of you. All are good buddies. They all know each other.
Yes.
You all work together in your own way. You as a poet, mm-hmm. musician, and an artist. You support one another's work, which sounds terrific. How did you find yourself interested in poetry? What made poetry your means of creative expression? How did that happen?
So when I was a kid, I was heavily into hip hop. And I was like one of those kids and from the inner cities that was aspiring to be a rap artist. When I became incarcerated, I picked up on reading poetry. I picked up on reading poems from Alicia Keys, her book, Tears for Water, Tupac's, you know, The Rose That Grew from Concrete. And then I was introduced to Khalil Gibran, the prophet. I started writing poems, started converting my rap songs to poems and responding to other poems, you know, kind of like sort of like being in conversation with another poet. I started to do that, and then I started to kind of like reflect on my days and my life, and I started to talk about those things too. So I was already in love with the arts, you know, so I was already in love with one form of poetry, you know, rapping and writing rhymes and stuff like that. And then I just fell in love with verse and lyric, you know, and actually getting some formal education on it.
You had some time to work on it. How do you describe your work?
The way I describe my work is I don't put myself in a box. I like to think of myself as, you know, an emotionally intelligent poet, right? You know, someone who can take an idea and talk about it through a lyric, through a sound, a taste. You know, hopefully you will experience something. So I think that I see myself as a person who writes for therapy. I write to heal. I write to also rejoice. But I've written sonnets before. I've written slam spoken word pieces. I've written stuff for plays. Like we were writing a musical. I wrote some lyrics to be played with music, you know. So I don't put myself in a box. I like to write everything. And I especially love stream of conscious type stuff. You know, I love the stream of consciousness type stuff. I'm a fan of Allen Ginsberg. I'm a fan of Allen Ginsberg's How. And then I can go from Allen Ginsberg's How. I can read, you know, A Summer Night's Dream, you know, Shakespeare. And Khalil Gibran, are you familiar with Khalil Gibran?
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, Khalil Gibran, that's one of my favorite poets, you know, and Rumi, you know, Rumi mm-hmm. as well. Like a lot of mystics and Middle Eastern poetry. I follow so many different kind of poems. One of my mentors in poetry, her name is Janine Pami Vega. Janine Pami Vega was a beat poet out of the, you know, beat generation. She wrote Green Piano. And she taught a class with Bard College that I took called Finding Your Voice. So I'm not sure if I found my voice yet, but I'm trying to write my way into finding it.
A lot of the poets that you speak about have a strong philosophy.
Yes.
How you can remove your own personal anxieties or your feelings and move them into a more philosophical or socially viable concept or philosophy. And it from the few things that I've read of yours, sorry, I haven't read more, but
it's okay.
The stuff that I've seen that you've written, it's like you've been able to combine the two, self-analysis or self-discovery along with a philosophy and a responsibility to society.
Yeah.
Can you talk a bit about that?
Well, coming from where I'm coming from, I'm coming from a lot of trauma in my life, growing up in foster care, bouncing from house to house, then ending up in prison for 20 years to life. At a very young age, I was 16 years old when I landed myself in prison. So institutions have been the reoccurring theme in my life since I was 3 years old, right? So for me as a poet, for me as someone who's writing down and talking about, you know, my interpretation of the world or my interpretation of a particular thing, it's more urgent for me to connect with it because I'm trying to escape a reality that might be so painful, right? And I'm trying to go into a world where, you know, I'm feeling confident about myself. I'm feeling loving towards myself, caring towards myself, right? So in order for me to do that, I need to obtain a freedom and I need to tell the truth too. So when I write a poem, this is going into the world. So it has to be the truth. It has to be. You cannot play with it because it's just not going to come out right. And it's not going to feel right. So when I talk about my experiences, I wanted to talk about it from my experiences, from the viewpoint, from the standpoint that I took away from society, right? And I know what it feels like to have been taken away from society because I've taken away from society. So now, in order for me to stay with society, I need to make sure that I put my contributions into society. I need to make sure that what I do is to not only say that I'm sorry for what I did, but also show the action of how I'm going to atone for the things that I've done, you know.
Wow. Yeah. Pretty heavy. Pretty good stuff. Yeah. Pretty good stuff. Do you think poetry has a social responsibility?
Yeah, I think poetry definitely has a social responsibility. And I think that if you look at history, poetry has had a social responsibility. I mean, you look at the poetry that's in the Bible with that responsibility, to the poetry that's in law books, to the poetry that's in everywhere around the city. Everywhere around your community, you can go to any point at anything and you will find poetry. You know, you will look at the newspaper, you know, headings and stuff like that. People probably won't call a person who came up with a headline on a newspaper a poet, but it's using the same tools that poets use. If you look at an advertisement, you see poetry on advertising, you see poetry everywhere. Most importantly, you see poetry when the next president of the United States is being inaugurated into the office. There's always a poet there. There's always someone to bring transition into the next step, into the next moment in our lives. There's always a poet to announce it.
Would you do us the honor of reading a poem for us?
Absolutely. Let me. Well,
I want to hear you read.
I wish I was me. I wish I was a real, hitting on a mosaic tiled high wall, 10 inches before the ceiling, in the back of every room, random visions for random reasons. I take the chance to breathe, to place your pink manicured fingers on my face. I like to be looked into, see if you can really see me. I see you in your evening dress you wear in the morning. You can see me blowing kisses or singing some warrior song, dreaming you up to be whoever I am in the mood for you to be. And usually it's always this one person. I wish you were dancing more, where your toes laugh this shuffling giggle and your legs are synchronized with your eyes or with the tune of your spirit as trees sway to a windy day, its tip glows from the sun rays. I wish I can kiss you as much as the ocean does the shore. And I wish you were here, not where I reside, but where I dream. So you see all that's coming to us when I leave, when I soar above the gun tower and razor wire fences and dark corners become light, open fields, Open fields become places to dive into with no worries. No worries of a mirror looking back at me, because you won't judge me.
This has been Andrea Cunliffe for Hudson Mohawk Magazine on WWOC 105.3 FM.